This is Mike Wolf from Hello Hollywood, and you guys are listening to the Rewind Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to the Rewind Podcast. This is show number 6 for May 2010. And I hope you're all well and ready to hear some more great bands, including Gavin Osborne, 28 North, Guy Littell, and an interview and track by the comedy trio Flat 29. We'll also have Rewind's Guide to Becoming a Rockstar and a new section just for good measure. Now it's time to ask for some help from you guys out there. The show is doing pretty well at the moment, but I want to hear your views on how it could be better. You want more features, more competitions, more music? Any suggestions will be considered. Just drop me an email with your ideas to rewindpodcast@googlemail.com. If you like your music hard, fast and loud, then you're going to love this first band. They're called Day Will Come. They're a five-piece band from Liverpool in the UK, and they are Sammy on vocals, Tom and Danny on guitar, Lebo on bass, and Lee on drums. Now these guys have a great sound, with wall-to-wall guitars and a pounding rhythm section. You'll be stripped off and sweating in a mosh pit before you know what's happened. They Will Come are a truly exciting unsigned talent. Go and support the band over at www.myspace.com/They Will Come. Now hold on tight and put on a crash helmet. This is They Will Come with Whatever I Say Goes. So please stop me from falling. Just stop the kicking out. Can't you see that I need you? Cause you broke into my cage and stole my heart from me. So I take back what is mine. And I forget who you are. It's all about you. It's all about you. I think you are.
Girl, they will come for you. So whatever you do. that you need to forget about. Took you by the throat and you spat it out. To give it up to the people that get around. Your hearts been ripped up and now you wanna let it out.
Now, when I first heard the music from this next artist, I was totally blown away by it. The songs are full of heartfelt emotion and sincerity, and the melodies he writes are the work of genius. His name is Guy Vittel, and he's a singer-songwriter from Italy. Now, Guy is the first artist from Italy we've played in the show so far. Now, if any of the other bands in Italy are half as good as this guy, then I can't wait to hear them. I urge you to go and check out his music at www.myspace.com/Guy Vittel and go and support him. This is Guy Vittel with his heartfelt song, Sweet Thoughts of Pain.
Sweet thoughts of pain, you'll never name.
And now it's time for step six of Rewind's Guide to Becoming a Rockstar. Getting a gig. Now, to be fair, I don't really know too much about getting a gig, so I thought, why don't I phone someone who knows? So here's Dave Scotford from Red Monster Records telling us exactly how to go about getting a gig.
As I said, I don't know much about getting gigs, really. When I was in a band, I think I had about two or three gigs, so it's not really, I don't have any experience. So what advice would you give to people starting out trying to get their first gig? What would be the best way to go about it?
There's actually an absolutely brilliant website called Band Me Up. If you just stick that into Google, it's basically a list of all the venues and all the top venues and all the decent venues in and around the UK, as well as some from Europe, the States, Canada, all that kind of thing. If you have a look at there, it's actually got the phone numbers, the email addresses and the addresses for those venues and for actually quite a few promoters as well. It's actually a site that brings together venues, promoters, labels, pluggers, bands as well, you know, all basically the music industry is basically on that website, which is brilliant. But
like a one-stop shop?
Yeah, almost. It's a brilliant website. I mean, we've actually used it for the Hand from Georgia tour, which has been a massive help for us. So
what about a band that, you know, like a garage band, or just, you know, they're wanting to get their first gig in like a pub or a club? What kind of advice would you give?
The easiest way is to actually walk in there and talk to them. I mean, too many people pick up the phone. It's not really that personal. They're dropping an email or a letter. If you just walk in and start talking to them, most of the time you'll find the venues that go, yeah, that's brilliant, you know, we'll get you through the doors and start working with you. So just be brave and walk in, really.
Now, should the bands take a CD with them to let the venues hear their music? Would that be a good idea?
That always helps. The amount of times Red Monster Records have been emailed and there's no track or no link to the MySpace, so we can't even hear them. And, you know, people aren't going to take a gamble unless they've heard the band play.
No problem. And what about payments? Should bands doing it for the first time, should they be expecting getting money for these things, or should they be willing to do it for free?
I mean, a lot of early artists, certainly when they first start out, a lot of it will be done for free and just simply building impression with the promoters. When we first started as a promoter, we used to take on a band for the gig. We used to ask them to do the first gig for free, or petrol money. Yeah. And if they were, you know, they're a decent band and they seem like nice lads and the crowd loved them and things like that, then we'd take them on and we'd pay them a little bit more, and then the next gig a little bit more, and, you know, the same for keep going. But a lot of the gigs people do will be for free in the early days, but if you keep going and you keep getting recognised and you keep getting liked, then, you know, the payments will pick up and things will start working.
Excellent. Now, promoters, at what stage should, you know, bands think about getting a
promoter? I suppose if any stage, really. I mean, if it's your very first gig, or even if it's your, you know, your 100 millionth gone, you know, complete exaggeration, but promoters are there to promote people. That, you know, whether it's newer bands will obviously get the support slots rather than the headliners, but, you know, just approach people. If you've got something, some kind of demo, or you're able to play in front of a promoter live, then just approach people and see what they say.
Now, rock music can be defined by such great bands as The Beatles, AC/DC, Aerosmith and Guns N' Roses. But this is 2010 and it's time for someone new. And this next unsigned band are it. They're called 28 North and they come from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And are Michael Linder on vocals and guitars, Alex Stanton on guitar and vocals, Tyler Bond on drums and Jonathan Coleman on bass. And these guys have all the ingredients needed to be a great rock band. They have guitar riffs so hot they'll set your speakers on fire, a tight rhythm section and a vocalist that can really belt out the songs. 28 North are the new rock. Visit them at www.28north.net, as well as all the usuals like Twitter and Facebook. Now this is 28 North with the rockin' song, Pride. We'll be right back.
Now for some news. The friends of the show, Red Monster Records, have reached the finals to win an award from the UK's biggest online website for young entrepreneurs, Shell Livewire. Now, winning this award would mean a great deal to the indie label and would also mean they'd be able to sign more unsigned artists to the label, which is good news for you guys. But to be able to stand a chance of winning, they need your votes. So head over to www.therewindpodcast.com and find the post called Red Monster Records Award and click the link to be taken to the Shell Livewire site and go vote for them. Alternatively, you can find Red Monster Records on Facebook or Twitter and follow the links from there. Now, if you're looking for another podcast to listen to and you're not listening to this one, why not check out the Risk podcast over at www.risk-show.com or search for it in iTunes. In the show, people tell true tales they'd never thought they'd dare share. It's a great show and I've listened to it for ages and I highly recommend that you do as well. So go check it out at www.risk-show.com. The next time you're online, why not head over to a website called The Reflective Inklings. It's an amazing, high-quality, high-content site where you'll find informative reviews on all types of music from the past, present and future, including albums, singles and artists alike. Now, the site dabbles in sports, movies and video games as well, and you'll spend hours on this site, so have fun. Check it out by clicking the link on my site or head over to www.thereflectiveinklings.com, which is spelt www.thereflectiveinklings.com. Now, if you like any of the bands or artists featured in this show or any of the previous shows, and you want to find out a bit more about them and their music, or if you just want to keep up to date with what's going on with The Rewind Podcast, then head over to www.therewindpodcast.com. And if you want to submit your music to the show or just say hello, then send an email to rewindpodcast@googlemail.com. Now, The Rewind Podcast is also on Facebook and Twitter, so get clicking. Every so often, a band or artist comes along that blows you away and reminds you why you still get excited about music. This next solo artist is called Gavin Osborne, and he does just that. He's a gifted singer-songwriter whose songs each tell a different story. His lyrics create a move in your head and will evoke emotions you never knew you had. His songs can be both funny and touching, and are written in a way which we all can relate to. Gavin is currently signed to Banquet Records, and has two full-length albums out called In the Twee Small Hours and Meeting Your Heroes. Find out more about him at www.myspace.com/Gavin Osborne or also on www.banquetrecords.com. Now, this song is called Hello, My Name is Charlie from his great album Meeting Your Heroes.
Pictured how I was going to do it, just turn up at his artist studio, boldly knock on the door. He'd answer it dishevelled, lying in a pool of paint as part of an installation on the floor. Then I'd calmly say, hello, my name's Charlie, and I know you're in love with my girlfriend. Then I'd knock him spark out and walk back home, still unsure whether blood was on my hand or just red paint. And you'll love me once again, and you'll love me for my show of strength, and you'll feel safe from harm, and you'll hold me, and you'll love me once again. But that's not how it happened, 'cause he wrote to you every day, mostly letters, sometimes sketches with no words. And you kept them hidden away, 'cause you just couldn't throw them out, and because you couldn't bear to see me. Oh, you tried so hard to love me with all your heart, but your love for me got wounded in the front line. And when I tried to make you laugh like I used to in the bath, you turn away before I made it to the punchline. When I looked at your face and compared it to our early days, you knew you couldn't keep the truth from me anymore. So you opened up a box of magazines and hundreds of his letters poured out like a ravine. And when I said that you should go to him, you had that look back in your eyes like you loved me again. And I told you it would break my heart. But if you really loved him, then I guess we had to part. Yeah, I told you it would break my heart. But if you really loved him, then I guess we had to part. Yeah, I told you it would break my heart. But if you really loved him, then I guess we had to part. Yeah, I did it all for you. I did it all for you.
This week's interview is with a comedy trio that's collectively known as Flat 29. And they are Dan, Rich and Charlie. And they are the hosts of a hit comedy podcast called Flat 29's Big Book of Everything, where each fortnight they'll discuss a given topic in great comedy detail to add to their Big Book of Everything. Now the show can be found at www.flat29.com or over on iTunes. And you should check it out because it's a really funny show. I'm a big fan myself. Now the guys also write some very funny comedy songs which appear on their podcast. But even more of their songs and extra content can be found over at the website that I just mentioned, which is www.flat29.com. Now, here are the guys telling us all about Flat 29.
How are you guys doing? Okay?
Yeah, we're not too bad, thanks. Pretty good.
Yeah, we're good.
Good, good. So, can you just introduce yourselves for the listeners?
Sure. My name's Dan.
My name's Charlie.
And my name's Rich.
And we're collectively known as Flat 29.
So how did you guys meet?
We met when we lived together in university, actually. We all lived together in a flat, Flat 29, as it happens, where we got our name from. And we were just thrown together by the fickle hand of fate. And here we are.
What is it, Dan? Sorry, on you go.
It's all right. I was just going to say, Dan and I got there a year earlier and sort of started off doing bits and pieces. And then we had a bit of a sort of, I guess, lineup change for the band a year later when some people left and Rich moved in.
Yeah, Rich moved in and he was a kind of child prodigy and we took him under our wing and nurtured him.
So how long ago did you guys start Flat 29?
2004?
That's right.
I think that's when we and you met, wasn't it, Charlie? And then we met Rich in 2005.
Is it really that long? Seven years we've been doing this?
Oh, it doesn't seem like that long. It seems like just a day.
It does, doesn't it?
What made you form Flat 29?
We got home, Dan and I got home one evening with our other flatmates and somebody had a guitar lying about and they just started strumming something and, you know, it became a bit of a comedy song. So we did an open mic night at our uni and then we recorded it and it sort of snowballed from there a bit.
But we all sort of studied music. Like myself and Rich did degrees because we were obviously living together at university. We both did degrees on music technology, and Charlie was doing a music management degree in this. So we were all in this Poncy Performing Arts School, and so we were all doing music anyway. We were all sort of into music anyway. And as we were living together, we thought, let's do some bloody songs.
Fair enough. So
that was our exact words.
You say performing arts school? Did that involve ballet at all?
Ballet? But yeah. No, there was no dancing at all.
All right, that's
no ballet. I thought you said Barry. Barry.
Was anyone called Barry?
He was there way before us.
There was ballet going on in the background, but not by us.
Oh, that's a shame.
It was it's a modern performing arts school, so I'm not sure how much ballet they did. It was more sort of jazz and tap and modern, I think, as far as I know from the dance course.
That's what you were doing anyway, Charlie.
Yeah, that's what I did when I'd stroll past. I just break into a quick dance number, a bit like Fred Astaire and Singing in the Rain, and then carry on my way to lectures.
Sometimes in the studio, I used to do an interpretive dance.
There's actually alternate versions of our
current me.
There's alternate versions of all of our albums, which has Rich interpreting each song through the medium of dance.
You should really post that on YouTube. It's around somewhere. Yeah.
So how would you guys describe your music to the folk that's never heard of you?
That's a tough one. I think you'd probably say it's a comedy tunes, but a very diverse style. We don't like to niche ourselves into one specific music style.
You started the sentence there and the metaphors all went way off. Niche ourselves into one specific. Yeah.
it's all a bit random, isn't it, the comedy?
Yeah, yeah.
You guys saying?
I think we've all got kind of various different musical influences. So musically, we come from sort of all over the place. We've got a lot of kind of rap songs. Uh-huh. We've also got a lot of more really poppy type stuff and some more rocky stuff. So I think musically, we're a little bit all over the place, but always with the kind of central theme of this sort of silly, childish comedy that we love.
Which is great. It makes me laugh, so I liked it.
Good stuff.
So what other influences do you have? Like what are you into musically?
I know I came from a sort of I guess more rocky background. I listened to a lot of sort of punk rock and things when I was sort of a teenager, and I guess it kind of spilled from that into sort of synth pop and sort of bits and pieces from that. So I'm more sort of the rocky end of things, especially kind of quite American influenced.
But then I think we've all been listening to really different stuff, because I've always been really into rap and stuff. So I think that's when we started. I tried to push us into the rap kind of style of things.
Yeah.
So I've always listened to that. But then Rich, you like quite different stuff as well, don't you?
I like sort of indie rock sort of stuff, and also just like really poppy stuff as well, some of it. Like Take That. I love Take That.
It's kind of like, you know, when you ask someone really boring at a party, oh, what music do you like? And they say, oh, everything. We're a bit like that. We're like the boring person at a party.
Yeah, it's collectively we like most things, but individually we all kind of like quite specific genres. And if you start, sort of asking us detailed questions, then we're a bit defensive about our music taste.
But basically what happens is, obviously all living together, it would be, we just tried to convert each other to the course. I'd be like, oh, Rich and Charlie, you've got to listen to this amazing 90s rap album, which you'll hate. Come on, it'll be great. And eventually I wore them down and vice versa.
It was like a sound clash in your house.
It was, yeah. It was like a kind of Jamaican sound clash where we'd all be sort of yelling at each other around the corridor, playing up music really loud. It was good times.
Excellent.
Dan used to be a garage DJ.
That is true. That's a little known fact. Well, it's you true, say like, garage it's DJ. It's more like a bedroom garage DJ. But yeah, I used to be into that.
Cool. So, you guys have this podcast called The Big Book of Everything.
Sure.
Which people can find on iTunes, and it's really funny.
Thank you.
But the thing is, was it like a comedy podcast you wanted to make, or was this an avenue of putting your songs onto the internet as such?
Ooh.
Do you want Dan, to that's one for you. You started it.
I suppose so.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been into podcasting. I think I sort of maybe introduced that a little bit to Charlie and Rich as well, possibly. I don't know if they'd agree with me on that. But anyway, I listen to a lot of podcasts myself, and I'm just really into that as a medium. And so I was quite keen to do one. And I know that me and Charlie and Rich, we actually did radio shows on our student radio when we were at university. So we really enjoyed doing that. And I kind of thought, oh, let's do a podcast. But I think it was never thinking, oh, we'll do a podcast and that is the main thing. I was always kind of had the music in the back of my mind.
Right.
And as well, like, you know, we haven't been actually living together since like 2007 now. Uh-huh. So I kind of thought, oh, well, this will be a really good way for us to get back together and do lots more music together and stuff, which we hadn't done for a little while at the time. So it was kind of a bit of both, really. It was like, yeah, we'll do a podcast. It'll be great. It's a great medium for like an independent kind of artist or an independent sort of, you know, comedy, whatever you want to sort of classify us, I guess, as to get your stuff out online. But also we can, yeah, get our music in there as well.
I think, well, I think in some way it's just, it's a way of, I suppose, reaching a new audience because our songs are on the internet quite a lot. And certainly when we did a song about Neighbours years ago and that kind of, it sort of went around the internet a bit. And so, you know, it was out there and people sort of got directed more towards other songs that we'd done. But I think people listen to podcasts, I suppose, in some way it sort of targets a slightly different person from those actively looking for unsigned bands.
Right. That is true. I think that when we started putting our songs on the internet, it was around the height of the MySpace era where bands would put, you know, stuff on MySpace and that would actually get listened to. Whereas now if you put stuff on MySpace, you're just basically throwing it into a void where it's going to be sucked up and never heard of again.
It's true. Basically, I spend a lot of my time on MySpace and pure volume stuff, just looking for unsigned bands.
Oh, that's good that someone does that. But I've heard about people like you. Where are you?
But it's a mess. You're right. I mean, like, see, to try and get anything good, it's just a nightmare. Luckily, you guys got in contact with me, which I'm glad you did.
That's all right. Well, we liked your podcast. We heard you interviewing Martin Austwick the other week, and we really enjoyed it. So we thought, hey, he sounds like a cool guy. Let's give him a call.
I like your podcast too. There we go.
Shall we kiss now?
No. Just a question. I was wondering, because I've started podcasting and you guys have obviously done it a lot longer than me, but do you get weird emails? Because I get some weird emails from people. And your show is maybe a bit more designed to attract weird emails, you know, because of the comedy value.
I mean, that is true. We love weirdos.
Yeah, we do.
Do you want to field this one, Rich?
Well, most recently we got an email with a lolcat in it, didn't we?
Yeah, we just got an email.
And that was, because I did a jingle in the last podcast that said, send us a lolcat. So someone sent us a weird lolcat and it's weird. It was a bit weird, but I liked it. Yeah, weird emails.
I think that's it. I think we do encourage the sort of emails that we get are things like, yeah, someone sent us a lolcat. Someone sent us a picture of their cat with a policeman's hat on. Another cat themed on there. I notice a theme developing there. But also just things like stories about, you know, tricking their girlfriends into believing that they were in Home Alone and various sort of random things. But we definitely encourage it. You know, we love those kind of emails.
Oh, that's good.
What sort of weird emails are you getting?
I've had a few from strange women, which I presume is spam, but...
Wow. Your podcast is obviously a lot sexier than ours. Our podcast needs to be a bit sexier. Where are these weird women for us?
I don't know.
I'm jealous, if anything.
I want some podcast groupies.
Yeah, to be honest, that's the main reason we got into podcasts, for the cheers.
Yeah.
See, I've got a funny feeling they're not real women. You know, they're probably just big, hairy men.
That's true, but we can't be fussy.
True. No, fair enough. Don't blame me. Now, you guys have got a website as well. Do you want to tell people about the website?
Yeah, sure. The website is www.flat29.com. And from there, you can find there's two sort of main links. You can get to our podcast site where there's all the details of our podcast, all the download links and everything. But also there's a section for CDs where if you're just listening to, you know, if you're just looking to hear some of our music, you can find all of our CDs for free on there. You can have a listen to. We've got quite a massive backlog of material. But if you've got a rainy day, go and have a listen to some of them.
Yeah, you sent me the link and I downloaded Cum Stains on the Sheets and Love You, I Like You, which they're actually really good albums. My favourite song out of them all is Milk and Cheese. That is just one of my personal favourites. And I like the soup song as well. That's quite good as well.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, we like to write songs about food, weirdly.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like that because that's complete. The soup song's the first song we really sort of did. And then I think Milk and Cheese is about sort of the second to last we did before we left university. So it's kind of, you basically picked, you know, bookended. The two songs. Yeah, bookended kind of our, I guess, back catalogue there by just picking two. I mean, they're quite opposing styles, I guess, other than about food. But yeah, sort of, we've kind of, it's nice to see that people are enjoying our entire length of the back catalogue.
Yes, it's very good. Yeah. Have you ever thought about doing a podcast about unsigned bands, maybe?
Who, me?
Yeah, I think you should go for it.
That's a very good idea. I think I might try that. Is there any particular bands, if you listen to the show, have you liked any of the bands in particular?
Well, I obviously, as I sort of mentioned before, I really like Martin Oswick's stuff. I think he does some great sort of science-based songs, which are kind of, I like about him, he sort of does stuff which is almost sometimes erring on the side of comedy slightly, like not really, you know, obviously he might think that I'm doing a disservice there, but I think that there is a kind of whimsical element to it as well. But I really like that, you know, and I think that he's got some really nice kind of lovely songs. I'm sort of drawn to music, which is like, because I think, you know, obviously we kind of group ourselves, this is comedy music, we do music which is funny and, you know, silly, and we try and go out of our way to make it funny. But I think there's a lot of music out there which is kind of on the border, which is funny, and not funny in a kind of, you know, hilarious laugh out way, but in just sort of whimsical way. Like things like, I know me and Rich quite into people like Jim Noir and Moldy Peaches and stuff like that, and you wouldn't necessarily category them as comedy bands, but I think there's an element of kind of comedy in there that we're just really attracted to.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Moldy Peaches. I get into them. I watched the film Juno, and from then, you know, they're brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. No, they're a great band.
I also listened to, talking about comedy singers, Kevin Bloody Wilson. You ever heard of him?
Yeah, the Australian guy.
He's quite funny.
Is he Australian?
I
remember my brother recommended him to me years ago, and every now and then he sort of, I keep forgetting about him, and then he sort of crops up again with some, you know, just really bizarre thing, and it is, some of it's incredibly funny. Yeah, I think he's got some good stuff on there.
So, who writes the songs in Flat 29?
Rich,
well, we all write songs. Basically, we're all good enough to actually write a song, and we just sort of take it in. We try and take it in turns each week and do a song each week, don't we?
Yeah, I think with our podcast, we do, like, because, you know, we live a bit far apart now, we do it so that, okay, we take it in turns. We say, right, this week, Rich, you're doing a song, and we kind of work on it in isolation. But I think when we lived together, we never really did that. We've only really just started doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cause a fight. Who is the best at writing the songs?
Me.
Oh, that was easy.
Yeah, I would actually go with, for the type of stuff we do, I think Dan probably has the edge for quite a lot of it, just because he does write quite sort of quirky but well thought out things. His production level is pretty high.
I was only joking, of course. I think we all bring something to the table, really. We all have our certain sort of styles, and I think that we all like our songs. When you hear our songs that we've done individually, which we do on our podcast, where we've just like, I've gone out and I've just done a song, and Rich has gone out and he's just done a song, you can hear that we've got different kind of styles of humour, so it's not necessarily always that one's better than another. But
I thought I was going to start the first podcast fight there, but oh well, never mind.
I was expecting a fight, but they just agreed with me. Where's the fight?
I think collaboratively, you know, when we're all writing stuff together, I think it's different. And I think, you know, then maybe, I guess, Rich has the musical edge with his background, and maybe, yeah, then you and I argue about lyrics. But I think individually, I think you might have the edge on doing your own type of song. But I think collaboratively, it's a completely different thing. And it's a slightly different, you can tell, you know, it's more of a combined personality in a song. When, you know, on our older stuff that we used to write together, it's more of a sort of uniform effort across the board than it is now.
Yeah. How do you guys actually record the show if you're living so far apart?
Well, on the whole, it's pretty much each their own, and it's sort of, because a lot of the time the song is as much a surprise to the other two as it is to the listeners. We hear it when we record it. Every now and then, if it's something particularly sort of fantastical, or on, say, the Elderly, a song about Marjorie, which Dan wrote, you know, the singing the chorus was slightly outside of his range, so he sent it to Rich, but only the chorus rather than the whole song. So, you know, we hear, like, every now and then we hear bits and pieces of somebody else's thing, but often, you know, it is quite a solo endeavour.
But then when we actually come to record the podcast, so we'll kind of prepare these songs in advance, I think, often. And so, like, we'll come to do our podcast record, say, on, like, a Sunday night or something. We'll all get together on Skype and set aside a couple of hours for recording the talking kind of part of the podcast. And then we'll play each other, as Charlie says, we'll play each other the songs for the first time, and we'll kind of get our actual reactions to hearing the song on the podcast and everything as well, which I think is quite nice.
Excellent. And then Dan sits and edits it for, you know, in a very unenviable task of, you know, we all record separate audio things and to him and he edits it together, which is quite a technical masterpiece. And yeah, I'm quite glad I don't have to do it, to be honest.
So do you guys, well, I probably I've answered my own question here, but I was going to say, do you guys do live gigs? But obviously if you live apart, then you don't.
It's a bit difficult at the moment, yeah, because we're living so far apart. I mean, we have done. We did do it when we lived close together, and then me and Rich made a bit of an effort about a year ago, and I think it was now, to do a few gigs in our, you know, hometowns and stuff like that. So we do every now and again, but we haven't recently. I think we'd be up for doing it something like that again in the future, though, wouldn't we?
Yeah, it'd certainly be nice. I mean, it's something I like to do is play a few more songs live, because I miss that element. I mean, I suppose at some point it's the same as the sort of collaborative writing. It's the playing music with other people. I find it more out of it than just sort of writing songs by myself. You know, to sit there with a couple other people and have their contributions, or just play with them. And it's, you know, it's just nice to see other people's reactions, or, you know, playing together and sort of everyone starts grinning because it's, you know, it's just fun and there's memories attached to it or whatever. And it's just a nice experience. And so, yeah, I think it would be nice if we did manage to play a few more for gigs. I mean, even if it's not a full-blown, you know, event.
Yeah, I've actually heard that Wembley's free in the summer, if you are interested in that.
Yeah, go on then. I mean, if we can fit them in, they better pay us well. But yeah, no, I think I'd really like to do some more. Like, I think there's a few podcasts who have done live podcasts now. I think a lot of podcasts I listen to, like Answer Me This or Collings and Herring or that kind of thing, they'll do live podcasts every now and again, which sound like really good fun, which are basically just them doing a podcast in front of an audience. Yeah. And I think that we could possibly do a live thing in the future, but I think ours probably would be more music centered. I think we'd like to get out there and just play songs, you know, play obviously funny songs and we'd make it a funny kind of gig, but it wouldn't necessarily be a comedy gig like a lot of these kind of live podcasts are. I think ours would be more focused on our music.
I think we could do something in between, you know, there'd be sort of a live element to it. Maybe it'd be sort of an evening with Flat 29.
We haven't ever talked about this yet, so we're just kind of talking about it now, really. What do you guys want to do?
You know, so maybe we do kind of, you know, an hour-long set, like 45 minutes, run through some songs, and then spend, you know, an hour recording a podcast of us just chatting about random things. And
well, that's a long evening you're planning, Matcha.
I'm saying it's an evening with Flat 29. But, you know, you get people come along and do it, and we record it live. I mean, clearly we haven't planned this, but it would certainly be nice to do something like that.
I think we would love to do something like that. I think we're a little bit away from that just yet, though. I think we're working towards something like that.
I was actually considering a 24-hour podcast.
That's a good idea.
You know, getting bands on, talking to them.
I'd like to do that.
I wouldn't want to listen to it, though.
No. Yeah, that's the problem. It sounds like fun, but who would actually listen to a 24-hour podcast? Nobody, you know. It's like...
You would have to be mental.
Yes, yeah, well. So, what's the plans for the future?
I think we're pretty happy doing our podcast. I think, you know, we've kind of slipped into a regular sort of schedule, I guess, where we do it every other week and stuff. And I think we're all pretty happy doing that. And so I think we're going to carry on doing that for the foreseeable future, certainly. And I don't know, really. Have you guys got any plans?
Yeah, and we're working on various other things. So, yeah, we're, you know, thinking of doing live stuff, as you heard from our ramblings there. We haven't planned it, but it'd be nice to maybe, you know, do something like that. As to quite what form that will take, we don't know, but it would be nice to all meet up together and play some songs.
We're working on... going to say exactly the same thing as me there, Charlie, but we all kind of, as well as doing Flat 29, which obviously we love doing, we also do some certain things off our own back as well. Like Rich is actually in another band which you play live quite regularly, don't you, Rich?
Yeah, definitely. So we're trying to hit the big time.
But that's more of a serious thing. It's not like a comedy band or anything.
Excellent. So Rich, do you want to plug your band when you're on the show?
Rich?
My band? Yeah, certainly. Oh, God. Okay, yeah.
Come on, Rich, you can do this. You know what you do with your own band.
I don't really, Charlie. I don't really. I think if you want to listen to our band, it's called Kathmandu, we're called. And you can find our music at myspace.com/Kathmandu Music. And we've actually got a brand new CD we're sort of bringing out at the moment. And all the tunes are up on the MySpace. And they're songs that I recorded like a couple of months ago. and we're sort of like an indie, sort of like indie pop, but with a flute.
Alright.
That's what makes it different.
Sounds different, yeah. I'll go and listen
to them.
You're
Kathmandu with a C, though, aren't you?
Yeah, so I should say Kathmandu spelled Catmandu.
Excellent.
Not like the country, which I think is a K, but I don't know where that is even, but
yeah,
I heard it's a place.
It's by the by.
Yeah.
So finally, just like a question for yourselves, what do you guys like to do in your spare time when you're not podcasting or writing songs?
Oh, that's quite a tough one. I don't know, I kind of go to quite a few music gigs and that sort of thing.
We just sound like the most big music nerds ever, don't we? I mean, yeah, that's essentially what we are.
It's true, isn't it?
I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 13. Is that a hobby?
In the PlayStation.
Don't go down. Sell yourself as being cool.
It's almost a career, to be honest. You invest so much time. But also, I'm a massive fan of comedy, and so I go to a lot of live comedy gigs and that kind of thing, so I do a lot of that as well. I know Rich likes to spend a lot of his time buying expensive products for his studio.
Yeah, I do, yeah. And I've just been selling loads of stuff on eBay lately. That's all my worldly possessions. That's my latest hobby.
Well, if you're selling a USB mic, get in touch with me, because I'm looking for a USB mic.
Charlie's right. Looking for a USB mic as well. So.
Yeah, he is. So you're in direct competition.
Whatever he wants, I'll give you £10 more.
Oh my gosh, let's start a bidding war.
We're going to play one of your songs called Milk and Cheese. Do you guys want to introduce the song?
Cool. I think maybe we should do it in a kind of cheesy way. So I'll say milk, Charlie says and Rich says cheese.
Right.
All right. Good stuff. Yeah.
Okay. This will be great. Here we go. Hi, we're Flat 29, and this is our song, Milk
and Cheese.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Milk and cheese. Went to make a cup of tea. A very simple process, should be easy as can be. It was going fine, I put the kettle on. I was feeling pretty good, what could possibly go wrong? But something unexpected was about to occur. I opened up the fridge and everything started to blur. Charlie!
Lockdown.
You've gotta come and help! I've just looked in the fridge and there's nothing on the shelves.
What? No butter, no cake and no eggs.
Worst of all is no milk, I'm trying to make a beverage.
Dan, don't worry, we're gonna have to hurry. But we can get to Tesco, get your shoes, let's go!
Oh, no, there's no time, I think I'm gonna cry!
The back of the fridge caught his eye.
Hang on, what's this? A pot of cream cheese. I wonder what would happen if I put this in my tea.
Dan, what are you doing?
No, it's fine,
that's
Joe.
Gonna be disgusting.
Fine. Look, it's milk and cheese. Just think about it, milk and cheese.
Look,
it's all dead.
You really haven't thought that
just
through. It can't be right. No, it's gone.
Milk and cheese. Shapes and sizes, the variable fillings create fun surprises. But there are certain guidelines you have to adhere to, like sweet and savoury don't mix. But it's clear to me that these regulations hamper creativity. Inevitably I'll be doing things quite differently. Just the other day I found another way to exploit the similarities between milk and cheese. So I put it on my bread. I just ran out of salad, so I used jam instead. But I'm too lazy to get to the shop. But hang on, if you stop and consider the science, there's ideas we can take from the humble beverage known as the strawberry milkshake. You got your dairy product and then you make it fruity. Check out my sandwich!
Well, Dan, that's an excellent sandwich.
Thanks, Conscience. But do you really think it was the right thing to do?
Just follow your heart, Dan. You'll go far.
Milk and cheese.
Well, that's the end of another show. Next time we'll have music from So What, Morning Sky, Amity and Fame, as well as an interview and track from Australian rock pop band Tonight Alive. Until then, why don't you check out some bands that are going to be on the show soon, like South Jordan, What Looks Like Crazy, and When Summer Ends. Thanks for listening.